Join longtime local and social butterfly Michelle Dragony as she flits up and down the coastside on her intrepid cruiser Flame, chatting with coastal characters at every turn.
So here we are today with Sophia Lane, who is running for Cabrillo Unified School District position, and we're going to ask her a series of questions, starting with, who are you?
So, who am I? Okay, so I'm an East Coast native. I was born in Brooklyn, New York. My parents came from a small town in Greece, actually. My dad studied in Germany, worked in the U.S. as a mechanical engineer. My mom spent most of her time taking care of my sister and me, although she also managed to go back to school to our local community college to advance her own education as well.
It's a nice role model.
Yeah. So always there, first and foremost in my mind. We moved to New Jersey early on in my childhood. Sister and I attended local public schools. Coming from Greece, it was important to my parents that they were able to preserve and that we were able to preserve the language and the culture of our heritage. So my sister and I went to Greek school after our regular school twice a week all the way through sixth grade. So, you know, give it a sense. I was really fortunate to grow up in a family where hard work and learning, would be it different languages, the arts, what we now call STEM, were really our core values, and education was always a top priority. So after school, I went to Rutgers, a state school in New Jersey, for my undergraduate work, then moved on to New York University, where I got my graduate degree in biology. I was able to pay my own way through most of my schooling through working as a teacher. While an undergrad, I taught for one of the big test prep companies at the time, and in graduate school, I taught and supervised a general biology lab for about 300 biology majors.
That's a really broad background.
Yeah, it was really exciting to be in, you know, that space, to be able to teach science to kids and start to think about how can you take the natural world and inspire people by it and hopefully get to a point where people can start using that information knowledge to contribute to the good of our society. So it was a great start there. After grad school, I made the big move out west to California and to the coastside in the early 2000s. And I really have not looked back since. My husband Josh has really been my better half through our many years of career and family. And we're really proud to be raising our two boys, Rowan, who's 10, and Oliver, who's 7, as part of the next generation of Coastsiders and students in our local public schools. My sister and my sister-in-law are both teachers, so education is a big part of our extended family life.
And so how did you manage to get to this position here?
So after I moved out to California after graduate school, I knew I wanted to apply my scientific training to a career outside of the laboratory, though I had no idea what this could look like at the time. So it being the late 90s in the Bay Area, I started working for a startup company. I came in as a science editor, though I had a lot of interest and skills beyond that, and it quickly drew me into additional roles in the company in investor communications and ultimately business development side of the business. So that was a really tremendous, great experience. Again, wearing different hats in the company and being part of this new growing company, I was interested to get some broader experience and a deeper understanding of how biotech and pharmaceutical companies really work to bring science to patients with serious unmet medical needs. So I then moved on to work as an analyst and a consultant at a local market research agency. This role then brought me to Genentech, where I spent nearly 12 years. I was hired to help form a new function, which was responsible for improving how we work together across the company to prepare and release our clinical trial data, which is a really foundational activity for any company developing medicines.
So it's sort of, if we make this parallel to CUSD, that's like coming up with the plan for the whole district, right?
And yeah.
Getting it out there.
Exactly. It's like saying we're doing something right now. We're communicating our data. We're educating our kids. We need to be able to take it to the next level and think about what are the ways in which we want the results to improve, and then kind of backtrack from that to say, what do we need to do to get there? Mm-hmm. You know, how do we adapt and evolve what we're doing, because the world is changing around us.
Constantly.
Constantly, so should we, in order to continue to get great results. So definitely a lot of parallels there. And then with the merger of Genentech with Roche, I was asked to take on a leadership role in a new global organization. So I basically was serving this function for our entire oncology unit. And it was a huge honor and really, really rewarding to be part of this work, extending and improving the lives of patients with cancer and helping to be part of that. An incredible personal experience to travel around the world. I had, you know, the opportunity to spend a lot of time in Switzerland and had an opportunity to meet with colleagues in probably another dozen European countries. So I got to see the world. And for me, that was really cool, especially having family history in Europe and interest in bridging different cultures to think about how can we work in this company around the same goal, getting medicine to patients who need it. How do you take people with different life experiences in different settings to work together, and different motivators, right? To work together towards that same goal. So a lot of...
Sounds like fun, actually. Very anthropological.
Yes, yeah. And very, you know, very data-driven and scientific and different and the same in that regard, too. Kind of the people aspect, but also the very data-based aspects as well were really critical to be able to do that and to be able to see the whole picture and to make sometimes difficult decisions for the good of the whole that required a little bit of negotiating and discussion with lots of different people at different times. So great experience. So yeah, so professionally, I've had this really amazing 17-year career in biotech, much of it teaching physicians about the science of new medicines, and all of it working collaboratively and helping to drive innovation in a really complex, dynamic, highly regulated, but critically important space.
And so you needed to have a new challenge, I guess.
It wasn't enough, apparently.
And so why do you want to run for CUSD?
So folks started putting the bug in my ear to try to get me a little bit more involved kind of in the school communities because, you know, in the district as well, in the board role, because I had really this really great, tremendous professional experience at the global level, this was running in the back of my mind, too. How can I use this experience to really... benefit our local Coastside community, which I love. I've been enjoying living here. I'm here to stay. My kids are growing up here. I couldn't be more thrilled. You know, how can I apply myself more to our local community? So I decided to make a big change and shift gears and say, you know, that biotech career is there. If I want it, I will go back. You know, but let's take a break. See what we can do here. You know, see how I can use that experience and apply it to benefit our community here on the Coastside.
Exciting adventure.
Yeah. So I decided to take some time off. It's kind of crazy. First time other than maternity leaves over the years right. where I decided to do that. And there's no crying babies around, which is refreshing change. So yeah. So I've decided to take a break, you know, and really... Kids grew up so fast. I wanted to be able to spend some more time with my family and more time with my community and really connecting with all the incredibly amazing people we have here on the Coastside and to be able to support our kids and our schools a bit more. So I've been increasingly active, and certainly the school board opportunity was one that came up very early on and I was encouraged to do. And once I had made the career choice to take some time off, was a no-brainer that this would be somewhere where I could add value in terms of my leadership experience and kind of that big picture thinking to really help support the district and our schools in the strategic direction that we take our education for our kids. So yeah, I've started to get more involved in different aspects of the community as well, coaching soccer, art teaching, like now all of a sudden getting involved in these different projects, which has actually been really helpful, I think, in my having more of an opportunity to get to know folks in the community and to see the kids in action in the classroom and to see them on the field. So I'm a lifelong learner myself. I always will be. I will never have all the answers to all the questions, but this process of outreach that I've had over the past several months has really helped me understand our community and needs and the opportunities a bit better as far as how we can support our youngest Coastside members.
And so with this experience and passion, what are your top priorities for CUSD?
So the way I see it is our kids are really living in a world and facing a future that's really different from ours and when we grew up. The job market's changing. Repetitive jobs are being much more automated. Technology is really allowing quote-unquote professional jobs to be distributed around the world because it's a lot easier to communicate with people over various technologies and media. There's an increase for workers and all members of society to really be able to think creatively, design and tailor machines, work with a team, and really continuously learn and adapt. Specific to our school district here at Cabrillo, as you may know, nearly half our students living at or near the poverty level. Around half of our students are Latino. So the diversity of socioeconomic and cultural backgrounds for our student population has evolved tremendously, you know, over the past 5, 10, 20 years. Our district is more rural and isolated from the rest of San Mateo County, which makes us a little bit unique in the county. And the state-based funding per student is fairly low, you know, relative to others in the county. So the district has a vision to support every child in every day, what's called a local control accountability plan to outline the goals, the actions, and the budget to how they will do that. You know, could not be more supportive and fully appreciative and completely commend, appreciate all the dedication and the hard work of our school board over the past several years in doing our best for our students in the community. I've had through this campaigning process a great opportunity, as I mentioned earlier, just to get to know folks in the community who are in leadership roles, as well as a lot of the families in our community that wouldn't normally be in my circles of my kids' friends and their families, the typical things that are like the natural sources of information, but I've really tried to reach out to others in the community and other schools and other age groups, past experiences, present experiences, different parts of town and the coast, and different cultural backgrounds and socioeconomic backgrounds to really understand the whole picture. For me, that's really important aspect of the school board member role is to represent the different parts of a community, some of whom have less loud voices than others.
That's such a good point. You're right. There are parts of the community that are very quiet, and it takes a good ear to hear them.
Yep, and a lot of proactivity to be able to kind of pull it out sometimes. So that's what I've been trying to do already.
You speak Spanish, right?
I speak Spanish. Yep. So that's been a huge asset in speaking with parts of our community for whom that's a more comfortable mode of communication.
Sure.
So I've enjoyed practicing my Spanish for sure. But I grew up bilingual in Greek as well because my parents came from Greece, as I mentioned. So to me, being able to communicate in different languages is kind of part of who I am.
Yeah.
You know, it's different styles and different languages. Mm-hmm. I think it's so important that we are able to communicate across our community. And that's the first step in collaborating. And I really think that's the secret sauce, if you will, to doing the best thing that we can do for our kids is pulling together our resources, being creative. Certainly language is a big part of that. So we're doing really great in a number of ways. I think we are in an opportunity now in a great place where we can take things to the next level in the education for our kids to really work to accelerate our progress in improving our public education here. We have a terrific foundation. I think we have an opportunity to broaden our efforts from imparting knowledge, which is more the traditional approach, to really teaching essential academic and social emotional skills as well.
Yes, that's the new thing, the EQ, right?
It is, yeah. And it's a big buzzword, if you will, but that emotional intelligence is really critical increasingly for all types of jobs that kids will be facing. We don't know what those jobs are, but we can see the trends is that they will involve a lot more creative thinking, collaboration, ability to continuously learn and adapt because the world is changing at a great rate. So they need to be able to have that learning mindset and keep up with things as they change and be comfortable with that.
Yep.
I think those special programs that are in place and getting off the ground, like Coastside Futures, are really critical to be able to provide that support. And I think continue to evolve how we achieve the basics. For me, that's really a few things. Number one, first and foremost, is to make sure we're attracting and retaining the best teachers and staff. We have some incredible teachers here, and staff here in our community. I want to make sure we can work to retain them, attract more over time, because that does take kind of a proactive strategic effort as we are looking more at teacher shortages and higher cost of living in the Bay Area. It's something that does require kind of a big picture thought, and that's really important.
Well, from my experience, my son just graduated from Half Moon Bay High School, and without any exception, every single teacher he had, every counselor, every personnel was absolutely incredible.
That's
it's
great.
It's a great team up
there. Yeah, it is really
impressive.
A great team.
It's a sweet spot now.
Yeah, that's really great. I'm glad he had a really positive experience, and that's been very similar with a lot of folks too, is making sure we treat our teachers in particular like gold. And, we take care of them and understand really what they need and what they want and are able to provide that to them. And so some of the themes I've been hearing include, just making sure they have time. And we take off a lot of the administrative burden that's accumulated on them over the years. Testing is one piece, but a lot of paperwork, I think, is a common theme. How can we help them with a lot of that so that they are free and feel empowered to do what they feel they need to do for their students over each year over year? How do we create another item that I think feeds into this is having this innovative culture and learning mindset in our schools. If we can support our teachers and our staff to have this approach, they're also, by the way, modeling for our kids. That's going to be important for our students to be able to have that as part of their way of working. How do we strengthen, thirdly, how do we strengthen and expand our community partnerships? A lot of really highly motivated, highly capable people in our community that can help out, certainly at the organizational level with folks at CEF and HEAL and other parent organizations for sure, that boosters as well, that can help support what the district is driving. Are there new ways that we can leverage corporations over the hill or others to further support what we're trying to achieve for our kids? How do we ensure operational excellence in that we have plans, we precede them, be they construction, be anything, any curriculum or anything, that our plans are implemented with the utmost quality of execution as well. You know, to me, that's, I would say, a fourth priority. Lastly, but not lastly, because if I were to choose a special area or, you know, a special kind of type of program that I think is critical for kids, it's not sexy and it's not new, but it's reading.
Yes.
You know, reading is, as they said in the commercials back in the 70s and 80s, it's fundamental. And to be able to be successful in STEM or in any other area, you've got to be able to know how to read. And right now, I think it's pretty clear a lot of our kids can't read well enough to be able mm-hmm. to take their academic careers to the next level. Mm-hmm. So we've got to make sure we are providing support for kids, all the kids that need it, to the extent that they need it, in the way that they need it. And that, again, might take a little bit of creativity to say, well, if this is working great for this group, how about these kids for whom that's not working? You know, mm-hmm. We need to be fully committed to come to figure out different ways to get to them as well. So that's really important. You know, right now we are doing probably, you know, by most metrics on par with California mm-hmm. levels, but I'd be less interested in comparing us to Bakersfield than I am to San Mateo. You know, and the results for reading and language arts, as well as mathematics for that matter, are not as good as they are over the hill. So again, while that correlates to funding, I think that doesn't mean we can just give up and say it's funding, we don't get as much money, we're done, we keep doing what we're doing. I think it just pushes us to think about alternative ways to get where we need to get with reading amongst our kids.
Can you think of a specific sort of approach that you might use for the reading problem?
Sure. In fact, podcasts. So funny you should ask. I was just reading that. I think it was on NPR. But there are a lot of, you know, alternatives, and I'm certainly not an expert teacher, so I wouldn't be the one to necessarily prescribe the algorithm for helping to kids read. But I certainly see, you know, in this role as a board member on the district, just setting that direction, that expectation to say, hey, let's give you what you need to figure that out, right? So this is the direction of the board, is not to come up with the solutions for mm-hmm. specific solutions, but at a high level to say, we need to do better for our kids in terms of preparing them to read. Mm-hmm. Okay, what do we need to do to solve that and make sure that the district has the support to put those things in place mm-hmm. to address those strategic direction? I don't have the answers, but I'd love to talk more with teachers to see what did we need to give them so that they can start to figure it out. And I expect it will take a little bit of piloting and a little bit of attempting, and things might work and might not work. But let's create the space to experiment with that a little
start
bit.
Start germinating.
Germinate the ideas.
Exactly.
Plant them and see what happens. Some will grow, some we won't. But if you don't plant the seeds, you won't get any plants.
That's right. Well, it's been lovely talking with you. Any other little comments and tidbits you'd like to throw at us?
No, you know, this has been really enjoyable for me and always a learning experience as well. You know, as I have mentioned, I've had a lot of time over the last several months to get to know people in our community and listen. And to me, that's really important thing I've been trying to do is to really listen and pull information from different parts of our community to help inform my thinking and what I'd like to do for our school district.
Well, it's been a pleasure. I love your energy.
Thank you very much.
Good luck.
Thank you very
much. November 8th.
Lots more, and I have a website set up if folks care to check in. It's www.sophialane.org. Feel free to check it out if you want to know more.
And we will include the link on the webpage too.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sophia.